Okay, we want to say good evening and welcome to An Understanding of God's Word. I'm Minister Shanette Peterkin, and tonight we're going to delve into the Word of God. We've been talking about the fact how God wants us brought, as children of God, brought to the unity of the faith. And we find that oftentimes the believer's faith is not properly placed in the right object. So it brings about heartaches and it brings about trials, and we find ourselves defeated in this walk, this Christian walk that we're in. So when we're, God has called us as Christians to be overcomers. And so we're going to look at the fact that last week we stopped dealing, we were looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 about having a right foundation. And what we found out was that a lot of the Christians in Galatia had been saved under the Apostle Paul's ministry, and having gotten the correct doctrine, the right foundation, we found out that there were some Judaizers who were Jews that were believers, but at the same time they were trying to continue in the law of the Jews, the way of the Jews, the ceremonies of the Jews, and all these things. They were trying to get these newly converted Christians to be circumcised. And so we found that the Apostle Paul said, you did not get saved that way. The only way you got saved was by hearing of faith, having faith in the right object, understanding what Jesus Christ did on your behalf to justify you, to redeem you, to declare you not guilty. And so because they were declared not guilty, the same way that they were saved as far as justification, and we always have to remember that justification involves, or salvation involves, three parts. First, you're justified. In order to be just sanctified, you got to be justified. And justified simply means that in a court of law, if you stand before a judge guilty of a crime and he declares you not guilty, that means that even though you may have been guilty of some things, but if you get that sentence not guilty, you're declared innocent, okay? And so in the eyes of God, we were declared innocent. Why? Because Christ paid the penalty at Calvary. He took the punishment and the sin, or the punishment for sin, upon himself. And therefore, we were all that believe in him declared innocent. So as we come, we realize that because we're now innocent, the next part, that qualifies us to be changed and delivered. So justification deals with your past. Sanctification deals with your present condition. Your present and my present condition is that we have a nature. We were born with a bent towards wrongdoing. We had a nature bent towards wrongdoing called the sinful nature. And this sinful nature has to be dispossessed. See, it has to be. The Lord doesn't eliminate it, but he takes its power that it has over me, its dominion that it has over me, and he makes it ineffective, okay? So this is the process. This deals with my present. Justification deals with your past. Sanctification deals with the present. And glorification, which is the third part of the salvation plan, it deals with your future, meaning in the future, our bodies will be changed. In the future, we won't be hindered by the sin nature. In the future, we'll be able to live an effective Christian life without sin, without the sin nature or a body of sin. We'll be given an incorruptible body, okay? So that's the three parts of the salvation plan. And we just want to go back, and we were looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We were talking about the foundation of the Christian's walk. The foundation is Jesus Christ. Paul, the Apostle Paul, as the master builder, laid the foundation, which was faith in Calvary. That is the way we come to God the Father, through faith in the Son. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to continue on that vein, because we were talking about the fact that we're called as laborers to work with God. And what happened with these Christians in Corinth was that they put their focus, instead of putting the focus in what Jesus Christ had done, they focused on the ones preaching the message, and that was the Apostle Paul, Apollos. So these Christians, we found out in chapter 3, were carnal. Paul said, you are carnal. And because they were carnal, he couldn't give them meat. Y'all, we have to understand that there's some deep things that we have to progress and grow in. We have to lay aside the elementary things of when we first got saved, and we have to progress. There's much that God wants to develop us in and get us understanding, but he can't get past our views, our ways, our traditions, our upbringing, our superstitions, anything that's in the way and of the Spirit of God and keeping us in the unity of the faith. So Paul has to let them see here that you're God's building. We're just laborers. None of us died for you, okay? And we just, for those that just came in, we're just recapping about what happened or what's happening when we give our lives to Christ, how Paul, as a master builder, as a laborer, he says in verse 9, we are laborers together with God. See, you and I are co-laborers. We work with God, okay? He says, you are God's husbandry or his field or his tilled land. Our hearts become tilled. Remember the parable of the sower and the seed? The only way that the seed could be planted was if the field had been, the fallow ground had been broken up, okay? And so this is what he means, you are God's tilled land, meaning that our hearts are broken through convicting power of the Holy Spirit. You are God's building, his vineyard, okay? And all of this is what, in verse 10, it says, it's according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. So Paul was the one who was given the revelation of the cross. Even though the disciples followed and walked with Christ, the Apostle Paul was given the revelation. They only understood Christ as the Messiah. They understood that he would be the one that would redeem. They were having problems trusting and believing in his word. So when Christ died, they were still not sure about his messiahship. They were looking at it from a carnal perspective, and Christ said he told them many things so that after he died and resurrected, it would be brought back to their remembrance. Okay, so they were just getting the understanding that he was really the Messiah, but they didn't understand how to live for God. See that? So the Apostle Paul is a master builder, and he built or laid the right foundation for these Galatians, these Christians in Galatia. Now we're here in 1 Corinthians. He laid the foundation also for them, but we see some things happening here. They were carnal. Something stunted their growth. Now, we were talking about last week how we have to be careful how we build on this foundation, right? And we were looking at the fact that there are rewards, that God reward us based upon the work that he does in us. See, y'all understand I said the work he does, because just because I do spiritual things doesn't mean that it was ordained by him. So only as I walk according to the leading of the Spirit can I overcome the works of the flesh. That makes sense? So here in verse 11, let's read that. Let's start there at verse 11 and see. And then we'll take off from there. Even though we read it last week, I just wanted to recap to show where we're at, get us up to speed. So let's start at verse 11.
For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ.
So we can't lay any other foundation on top of Christ and him crucified other than the message of the cross. What does that mean? That means, and we said last week, we can't lay any other doctrines. Islam, they say that Jesus Christ is just a prophet, okay? He was a prophet of God. They don't see him as Lord. You see that? So if someone comes from the religion of Islam and they give their lives to Christ, they cannot say that Allah and God are the same. They're not, okay? You see that? So we can't lay, this is why it's very critical that it's very, the first stage when we first come to Christ, that's when Satan is most apt to attack us, okay? He's ready to take the seed that was sown in our heart. He's ready. If there is no understanding, he comes to take that away. See that?
Amen.
So we have to be careful. This is why if I was brought up in religion and a certain denomination and they taught us different things, whatever, I have to let the Spirit of God, I can't let my doctrinal beliefs get in the way, and we're going to see this in a minute, because this will stop me from being a hearer and a doer. The reason why people become hearers only is because of the fact that we're not willing to lay aside the traditions or whatever it is that hindered the Spirit from working in us. Remember, Paul said we're laborers with God. So the Holy Spirit is called the Paracletus because he comes alongside us. He doesn't just, okay, I'm going to fix and do, and we boss him around like he's a little spiritual bellhop. But we're supposed to be working with the Spirit. The Spirit of God is there to reveal to us the truth about our present condition and about things in our lives that need to be looked at from his perspective. So what hinders me from being a hearer and a doer are the very things that tradition, superstition, all these other things that get in the way of the believer from seeing God, Jesus Christ, high and lifted up. When I compare myself to others, that hinders me from laying on top of that foundation gold, silver, precious stones, okay? So keep going, Sister Cherry.
Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble,
okay,
every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is.
Okay. So now we see, and we read this last week, that the believer, now when the rapture of the church happens, after the rapture of the church, it says the dead and all of us are raptured that are alive, and the dead in Christ, which are alive, they're going to be caught up and all that stuff, right? What happens is, that's called the bema in the Greek, bema, seed of God, the bema. That's where we're not judged. We've already been judged at Calvary. Our sins were judged at Calvary, okay? So eternally we are secure. Christ said, any man that the Father has given me, they shall not be snatched out of my hand. We are eternally secure, okay? Now, sometimes we may walk away, and I don't think because you sin or you fail God that your salvation just disappears. Oh, I got to get saved all over again. That's not salvation of God. God took into account what we would do, our failures, okay? So we're talking about people who sincerely give their lives to Christ and are trying to live for him. They may stumble and struggle or mess up in their walk, but it does not mean that we lose our salvation because we fail God. Okay?
Amen.
That makes sense. I got to just make sure we're clear with that, because I've heard people say because they had a wrong understanding of salvation, they will fail God, or they don't have a proper understanding of what salvation means and what sanctification means. And so, therefore, what happens is they think because they fail in a particular area that they're not saved anymore.
Right.
And they'll say, I got to get saved all over again. You see that? That was
right.
Going on for a while. People would fail or mess up, and so they would just be like, well, I might as well stay here, you know, where I can't do it. Because they took it upon themselves to try to live for God in their strength and ability, but they were only supposed to, the failure was to get them to see you can't do it, not for you to give up and turn and just cave in to your condition. That makes sense?
Yes.
So we are eternally secure. No man can snatch, or nothing can. What can separate us from the love of God? Not death, nor life, nor principalities. You see this?
Mm-hmm.
But we are responsible for hearing truth and allowing the word, our foundation, what we lay on that, to properly understand that we can't lay any doctrine, anything that will pull us away or subvert us from truth. When we do that, this is what happens. This is where we fail in God. We fail in this part of our works. many of us, when we get before God, God will say, you should have done this and done that and da-da. So when he judge our works, you see this? He will say, okay, let's put it to the test. Let's put it through my test, through the fire. And if what was laid on top of the foundation of Jesus Christ and when you got saved, Christ and the cross, if you chose to get caught up in church works and religious activities and I got to do this to be right and da-da-da-da, and you never understood, came to the unity of the faith, meaning right object of faith in the cross, but you lived a miserable Christian life and you never could overcome sin, self, the world, and Satan, this is what's judged. If we allow what the world system told us and our emotions, see, what makes us continue to be just a hearer is our emotions. If they're not nailed, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. If my outlook and my perspectives don't change to the way that Christ sees the world and see things, and we just stand for wickedness and support things that's contrary to truth, this is what, that's wood, hay, and stubble, and it will burn. See that? It won't stand the test of the fire. And there are going to be a lot of Christians thinking that they were here up to, you know, doing, that's why he said, We cast out demons in your name. We did this in your name. And he said, I don't know you. They never came to know. See, a lot of people, and we're all guilty of it, in church and religion, I never really came to know who he really was. It was a lot of ruckus and noise in the way because of religious works and activities. And sometimes we were behind pulpits trying to teach, and because man placed us in Sunday school and to teach and do this and that, but many people don't really have a clue who he is and how he operates. See that?
Amen.
So our Sunday school teaching, our singing on the choir, our ushering, all these things we're doing, but the woman at the well said, the Jews worship over in Mount Gerizim, but we worship over here. And he said, woman, you know not what you worship.
Amen.
And then false religion can make us think we're saved, and we're really not. You see that?
Yeah.
So these people right here that appear before the judgment seat of Christ are saved, and they, but what have they built upon their foundation of Jesus Christ and Him crucified? Was it gold, silver, precious stone? Was the Holy Spirit at work in their lives and changing them to stand up for truth and righteousness that they would not bow nor bend even in the midst of persecution? Or was it wood, hay, and stubble? Did they have a form of godliness? They were afraid of the persecution. See, the Judaizers were afraid of persecution. So they wanted to get followers, have big crowds to make it look like they were doing the will of God. But they didn't want to stand the opposition of the cross of Christ. Paul suffered. Every city he went to, the Jews hated him, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and he would preach truth. They would come, stone him, kick him out. The apostles went through the same thing. That was the offense of the cross. You and I, if the world is in agreement with us and our crowd that's around us, if they're not living for God and they're in agreement and they're walking with you and they have no conviction, we have to examine ourselves.
Amen.
Because your life, it's not that you're trying to do works in and of yourself, but your life, you may not have to say anything, but the Bible says that we are a city on a hill. We are the light of the world. We're a reflection of his light. And because we're a reflection, the world is against. See, light exposes or reproves darkness. The world's not supposed to like what we say. That's why they're trying to change laws to get everything to make homosexuality legal, transgenderism, abortion, all these things. That's why they changed the laws. Is to get so that their conscience, they don't want to hear that it's wrong.
Right.
This is the turmoil that we're going through today. So when we see these things happening, it's really a fist, man's fist at God saying, we don't want you. We don't want to be changed. And so if the church is not standing on truth and we're trying to cuddle with the sinners or preach a gospel that they want to hear, then guess what? We're aiding the world and closing their ears and not hearing or having the convicting power of the Spirit at work. See, they're supposed to be opposition and persecution. We want people to like us, but my point is that if they're in sin and in the world and they're doing things contrary to the way of truth, we have to pray, Lord, let thy will be done. Let the gospel be, let us have a way to preach the gospel in peace. Y'all understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
All right, so here, let's keep going, Sister Cherry.
If any man's work abide which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward.
Okay, now we have to understand there's a difference in entering the kingdom and inheriting the kingdom. All of this, when we become Christians, it's not a matter of I enter in to heaven or to salvation or eternal life, but after that, it's about inheriting the promises, the privileges, the rewards. See this? In the book of Revelation, when God talks to the church, Jesus talked to the churches, he says, to him that overcomes. See? He's talking about our inheritance, how we're supposed to. Remember, Esau didn't get the inheritance. Why? He chose the pot of meat or whatever it was. You see what I'm saying? And he wept simply because the father didn't change his mind. He had already given the blessing to Jacob. So once we become Christians, the question is not about being saved. You know, a lot of us think that, oh, I messed up, I'm not saved anymore. No, you've entered in. When you enter into a home, you enter into somebody's home, you've been given access, but you're not allowed to rearrange their furniture. When you sign into a hotel and you get a room, that don't mean you inherit the room. You see what I'm saying? You're allowed to use it. So there's a difference with entering in and inheriting something, okay? There's an inheritance that Christ wants us to take, to be partakers of. There are rewards. There are different types of rewards. When you read in the Bible, you see different crowns and all these things. The crown for witnessing the souls, standing up in the midst of persecution. There's all these different things. These are rewards and things that we get for being faithful. We don't earn it, but it's the fact that because the Spirit of God is in me and at work in me, now guess what happens? I can stand on truth and be not swayed by the world or by whether people like me or whether that my family going to come against me. It's not you and I and our strength. It's the Spirit of God that builds us, and he makes us like a hard as a flint. We set our mind to do the will of God, and it doesn't matter who comes against it. So this is a chain. So this is, there are two types of inheritance. It says, one, you can't lose this, and we're talking about true Christians, okay, people who've given their lives to Christ. You're heir by sonship, okay? Remember he says to him that believe he gave power to become the sons of God. Being a son or a child of God is through obedience to the faith. So belief and obedience mean the same thing. If I say I believe God, guess what? I'm going to walk in obedience to God. Any questions? I don't want to confuse anybody. If I say I believe God, I'm going to walk in obedience. So Ephesians 1, 11, and 14 can show you how it's a gift from God. Sonship is a gift from God, okay? And there's a conditional earned reward. And when I say earn, it's not us working for it. It's the Spirit of God at work in us that puts the will and the desire to do of his good pleasure, and I obey because I've been prompted by the Spirit when my faith is in the cross. You see that? Mm-hmm. So these rewards, this is what he's talking about, our works. It's not man's efforts without the Spirit of God at work in me. So you can see Colossians 3:24. Some of these that we can't go directly for the sake of time, but you can study it out. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 18. Now, there is, go ahead, somebody, anybody got questions?
So, it's just like, at one time, I thought, you know, working in church. So I didn't know no better than working in church. I thought that was the way to get to heaven.
Right.
But then, after the Lord pushed me out of that, then I learned that it's got to be His way, not me working, but Him leading me to do His work.
Yes. Yes. And amen. And so we have, once we learn, we have to, and the only way, we're going to see this in a minute, the only way that I can learn to do His work is by gazing and looking constantly at Him. Because we can, now we saw in Romans 10, Paul said, my heart's desire is that all Israel might be saved. They thought they were. They thought they, he said, but I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God. So it goes back to what you said. But not according to knowledge. See that? There's a lot of people in church given, they have a zeal for God, but it's not through faith in Christ and crucified. So what does it produce? It produces a form of godliness. Yeah. And you can be sincere, but yet sincerely wrong. And this is why the gifts that Christ talks about or Paul talks about in Ephesians 4, their job, they're supposed to take that seriously, and our job is to point people to the right source. Lift Christ up. If I be lifted, this is why I always talk about the message of the cross, more than just the words, the cross, but we have to get, they have to explain to the hearers how salvation works. And we said justification deals with your past. Sanctification deals with your present condition, and glorification deals with your future. All of that is a part of salvation. So when people say saved and salvation, you got to let people know what that means. And oftentimes we don't break that down where people get it. And you have to go beyond the theology of it, and we have to apply it. Because I can say what's theologically correct or sounds right and holy and just and study and get some stuff, but I have to know how that stuff works. And I have to apply it by evidence and faith. And when we evidence faith in Christ and the cross, what happens is you don't just see Him and then walk away. You have to stay there in the message of the cross daily. If He said, if any man will come after me, let him deny yourself. So as I come after Him daily, meaning I may be inflicted with cancer, and I'm a child of God. Now, if I listen to doctrines that say, and I've heard some people tell me one time I was sick, and they said, you need to be, the reason why you got sick or the reason why you're sick is because you're not a member of a church. You see that? So if I didn't know the truth, thank God I knew the truth. If I didn't know the truth, I would be like, oh, put my faith and focus in. See, I'm being pulled away from looking at Christ and the cross, and now I'll be focused on joining a church.
Right. Amen.
And so had I done that, guess what it would have done? Subverted the hearer, meaning that my attention would have been removed from the cross, and now I'm set on a wrong path. So what does the word subvert? It overthrows or destroys. Was it destroying? It's destroying me inheriting or partaking of all the benefits that Calvary has to offer me. So I'll be a Christian, but yet I'll be a miserable Christian. You see this?
Yes.
So this is the reason why we have to be careful how we hear. And Christ said, not only be careful how you hear, be careful what you hear. Because there are many things out there that tries to overthrow our faith. This is the whole point and purpose of Satan or evil in the world. See, in us is a bent towards wrongdoing. So because we inherited that, see, that's the inheritance we got from Adam and Eve, a sinful nature. Let's thank Adam and Eve for that. But Christ came to undo. See, He has to make us sons and daughters now in His kingdom. How? By giving us a divine nature. And this nature is totally contrary to our nature. We have a bent towards wrongdoing, and we say this all the time. That's what the sinful nature is. It's a bent towards wrongdoing. Everybody born has inherited a sinful nature. But if I'm born again, see this?
Mm-hmm.
Being born again means that God says, I'm going to deal as the last Adam. I'm going to regene you. I'm going to regenerate you. This is why Nicodemus came and said, good master, what must I do to inherit, you know? And he says, you mean to tell me you're a teacher and a religious leader and you have no clue? And this is where many in church are. They're leaders, they're teachers, but they can't explain to their hearers. You see, they can't explain what salvation, the whole plan of salvation is. It's more than just, are you saved? Okay, stamp, boom, and we keep moving and we go to works and religious activities. No, remember we said salvation is a three-part thing. It's one process, one big process, but it contains three things. First, you got to be justified, meaning that the wrath of God is against every sinner. It was against all of us. I don't care how good of a person I am. You know, I didn't club, drink, smoke, party, but as long as I wasn't in Christ, I don't care what good things I did. Guess what? The wrath of God was following me until I would submit or come to him his way. And God is gracious. It was the grace of God at work. He's after all of us saying, come to me today, while it's today. See that? God does not want any man to be destroyed. He doesn't want us to be doomed to hell. Satan does. And this evil world system is controlled by Satan. Why? Because of the fall. Adam and Eve disobeyed God, and they listened to Satan. And therefore, the dominion that Satan, that Adam and Eve had, they because they obeyed him, he was given that dominion. So he's the God of the world system, not the God of the world, the universe, not the creator. Mm-hmm. The world system. See this?
Amen.
Christ came to, he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. See? That whosoever shall believe in him should what? Not perish. So he came to destroy the works of Satan. But he had to come legally. God, see, God is a legal, a just, and holy God. He's not going to help me in my sin. He's going to deliver me from sin.
Amen.
See this? So once we get saved, and we're back in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, once that foundation has been laid, verse 11, be careful how you build upon it. That's what Paul said. Be careful how you build, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I want to remember we were talking about, let me get back to my document here. We were talking about the chain of inheritance here. We were talking about the inheritance. So once you become a child of God, a son, God has the Holy Spirit in you, and I is working to put to death some things in us. See? There's things in us, and because of the nature of God that's in us, the sinful nature. Now, it's just almost like a, remember we always compared it to a swimming pool. If you hook up the sewage valve to a swimming pool, and you get all that stuff that say that's the sinful nature. All our lives, that's what it produces, this sewage, right? But when I come to Christ, he shuts that valve off. Now, what happens to the sewage that was already in the pool?
It's still in there.
You're still there. You see that? So in sanctification, which is the second part, remember, he justified me. He declared me not guilty, even though I was guilty. He took the penalty of sin upon himself because the wrath of God followed me. And because I looked to him, that punishment was placed on Christ. That's why he says, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? See that? So now that I accept the Son, the next part of the salvation plan is sanctification. Sanctification is where God delivers me. So that pool filled with all that filth, it's the job of the Holy Spirit to come in and to put that stuff to death, mortify the deeds of the flesh. See, that filth deals with my flesh, it deals with my body, and it deals with my soul. But the Holy Spirit comes into me, the divine nature, as I yield by faith daily, look to the cross. See, this is me laying, this is how Paul laid the foundation, and I have to continue to build on that. So this is what he's saying. You have to build and let people see that now it is not your job and my job to clean the filth. It's the job of the Spirit. My job is to yield and surrender and submit to the Spirit. And the Spirit only works one way. Remember, the Godhead is holy. All three work together for one purpose. When it says the three is one, it's not talking about one in the Hebrew. It's not one in number. That word one means unity and agreement, concord. So they're working for the same plan. And so he says, for without faith, it's impossible to please God. So when God sees faith in what his son has done, God the Holy Spirit moves. See? And when he moves in my life, he's moving to correct, to put to death some things, to transform me into the image of his son. But there has to be a renewal of my mind. So sanctification will lead me to partaking, see, partaking of the benefits of Calvary. If any man will come after me, in Luke chapter 9, 23, 24, he says, let him deny himself. This is the hardest thing that God has with us as believers. Mm-hmm. It's hard to deny self because we've been so long used to self. We were independent of God, see. But now coming to Christ, I have to become dependent. I have to depend on the Spirit of God to lead me. The Apostle Paul said he trembled with fear when he preached and taught the people. He trembled because he was afraid that he would get in the way of what the Spirit would have him to say or do. And so let's go to James chapter 1. We're talking about the work of the Spirit in man. And so in 1 Corinthians 3, while y'all going to James chapter 1, he said, but if any man build upon the foundation, meaning that when we get saved, the message should be Jesus Christ and him crucified. I need a Savior, right? So now the building is for sanctification. Guess what? I got to yield to the Spirit and let him deliver, transform me, change me into the image. And all that, the only thing I do is exhibit faith, which is the way that the Godhead works. By faith, and grace is poured in my life. See, he gives us the power and the energy and his strength to overcome. If I try in my strength, guess what? I can't do it. How many of y'all ever been frustrated? You had a problem or had a struggle, and it was like it just nagged at you. You tried everything in your power.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
But one day, you just gave up when there was no, when nobody could help you and nothing could sustain you, and it was like, oh, I give up. And once you gave up, it's like, oh my goodness, you know, it's like the delivering process. It's you start being delivered from some things,
yeah.
And it takes time, but it all depends upon me yielding. If I try my strength to fix it, guess what? I'm using my energy, and he said it's not by power, not by might, but by the Spirit.
By the Spirit, amen.
Amen. Y'all, over any questions before we move further?
Ms. Pegan, when you talk about deny yourself, I don't think they teach people, they don't tell people how to deny themselves, so people don't understand, I'm denying myself, how I'm supposed to deny myself. I don't think they understand how to.
Right. Denial of self is simply you and I saying, Lord, not my will, thy will. Mm-hmm. Not my way, your way. I'm not going to try to fix this problem. He says vengeance is mine. What do? We want to get them back.
Mm-hmm.
Give them a piece of our mind. But this denial of self when faith is right, when I'm trusting in him, see, this is a walk. He says, if you walk according to the leading of the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The problem is, Sister Cherry, we don't want to be led by the Spirit.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
The Spirit will lead you and I to surrender. We will see that what we want don't matter. Our way doesn't matter. Our desires don't matter. It will not fix the problem. And oftentimes, and I'm getting somebody talking in the background. Can you mute your line?
But I'm not coming back.
I'm not sure. I'm going to have to try to mute some lines here. But oftentimes, denying yourself is all based upon obedience. Y'all hear me? It's a lack of belief or trust. Remember I said belief is the same as obedience. So if I believe God, I'm going to obey God. If I don't believe him, I'm going to walk in disobedience. See that? So that's what the problem is we're getting, and I said before, and I had written down some things, but I have to try to get back to it. There are some things that hinder us from being a hearer and a doer. And I wrote this down earlier, and it says one was being superstitious, relying on something magical, placing confidence in an object other than the Lord. And you can see that in 1 Samuel 4. I think they went up to go, they wanted to fight the Philistines. And there were several examples. When they went up to fight the Philistines, they went to get the Ark of the Covenant. And they put their faith in the Ark of the Covenant. And they were overtaken. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
And with Gideon, I think somebody built an ephod or something that the priests wear, and they made like a golden ephod. The people wanted to worship it, and they put their faith. That is being superstitious. See that?
Right.
Relying on something by placing your confidence in that object other than the Lord.
Yes.
If I say going to church will deliver you, see how that's something I place something else as my object of faith. So people get stuck as being a hearer. See, they're not walking in obedience. They fall victim to just hearing only and then going their way.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that gets us is falling victim to subjectivity or relativism or making comparisons, comparing ourselves by anything other than the message of the cross. Well, I go to church every week, and I'm doing better. At least I'm not doing that.
Girl, I know you better have a fall for real.
I'm hearing somebody in the background. Can y'all mute the line? And so this is what makes us a hearer only. But God wants us to be a hearer and a doer. So there are some things that come to subvert or overthrow us from hearing truth. And these things right here, we have to learn to let God be God in our lives. Y'all see that? We have to stop letting these superstitious things, these religious things, whatever it is. I'm going to go ahead and name these things now, and then we'll hit it as we read the scripture. Another thing is regarding the church as an object of faith. When you think by putting your faith in church works and religious activities and all these things, what happens is you and I just hear. And we can't act by faith because we think we're right. We're going our way. See, we're doing a way that's other than the way of the cross, which means that, Lord, it's not by my power and my strength, but it's by the Spirit of God. Sister Terry, did I answer your question earlier about denying self? So here, we can't even deny ourselves in our own strength. It takes the power of the Spirit for us to deny self.
Yes.
You see that? We try it. Okay, I'm not going to do this, and I'm going to. But what we do is make a mess. So it even takes us exhibiting faith and trust in the cross to deny self.
Yes.
We're going to say, Lord, I'm going to abstain from this, and I'm not going to do this and do that. But we found we can't do it in our strength. But if we let the Spirit of God yield to the Spirit, exhibit faith, yield to the Spirit, He will give you the power and the energy to deny self. Pick up the benefits of the cross and follow. So another thing it says, emotions instead of understanding. This makes me a hearer only when I'm involved in my emotions and I don't take the time to get understanding. That's why I said, we watch TV and hear the biggest false prophet is that TV, what comes on there. Why? Because they reach the masses. They can paint an image and paint a picture to how something may look and how it appears, and we'll believe it. We won't go dig. We'll get in our emotions, and emotions take over, and you won't get understanding. And the enemy says, got them. They're here only. They hear the word, but they're not acting on it. This is why deception is Satan's greatest tool in the body of Christ to stop us from operating in the power of God. Deception. We deceive our own selves. Not only Satan is not the only one that deceives us. We deceive ourselves. We deceive ourselves because we will go our own way. So emotions, this is why emotions has to be crucified. I don't know if y'all ever seen the little animal show that comes on, and the dogs look pitiful and they play the music.
Yep.
And the first, you'll get the feeling some kind of way. I don't know if y'all experienced that, but you feel some kind of way emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying the dogs aren't pitiful and they need help or whatever, but I'm just using that as an example to show how there's an appeal to the emotions. Today with social media, you can go out there and do a video of something or take a video, upload it to the internet, and get people involved in their emotions without knowing the whole picture or the whole story. This is what's happening today. You see this? But we'll take what we see and hear from others' opinions or whatever and won't dig to get understanding. To see remember, it used to be you're supposed to be innocent until proven. Now what we do, we're guilty until proven innocent.
Right.
They show something, boom, oh, yeah, and the crowds just go berserk. See, the media knows how to control the emotions of the masses. This is why I said don't be carried away. Our emotions have to be crucified with Christ. And another thing that makes us hearers only and not doers is being theoretical rather than obedient. Given we have an intellectual assent to something, rather than having a serious commitment to God and His Word, you know, we'll get our theology right and have an understanding. You know, we can go study something, get it right theoretically, but in our doctrinal beliefs, but there's no serious commitment to applying truth to our heart and live for God. We put more faith in what the intellectual knowledge that we gain, studying the word to get all this down and dissect it, but are we applying, is there serious commitment? Okay, so in James 1, okay, we're going to go here. Let me get there for in a second. All right, let's start at verse, let me see. Let's start at verse, we'll start at verse 1. Any questions before we go? Because y'all know I'll get started and forget to ask if y'all have questions. Okay, verse 1.
James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing.
Okay, so here it says, and this is talking about James is the brother of Jesus Christ, okay? And notice he says he's a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't come to believe till after the resurrection. Before that, he was one of the brothers against Christ, right? They didn't believe, okay? So now he became like a great leader in the church, and we'll see that. You can see that in the book of Acts. So now in verse 2, he tells us the way to victory. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. Now your perspective and outlook on things will determine whether you have victory, because some people look at diverse temptation, they can't count it joy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They can't take the trials, and all it's talking about is the trials. It says it refers not so much to the allurement of sin, but as it does trials or testing and trials. Count it joy. How can you count it joy when you fall into diverse temptation? How in the world can you count it joy?
You got Jesus.
Amen. And Jesus, amen, your focus and your faith is in what the cross of Christ accomplished on your behalf. And if you're looking to the cross, you know what? We encountering what the coronavirus, we're seeing death all around us and all these things. But God is using this.
Mm-hmm.
God is using this. Even though it was meant for evil, God can take it and work it for the good. He's purifying
mm-hmm.
some faith through this whole process. Now, we're not saying coronavirus is good. But when these things happen, these trials, these tests, it's an opportunity. I've seen people, and I know I'm a witness. It's pushed and propelled me deeper and into the face of God. See what I'm saying? And so by doing that, he said the sons of Issachar knew what to do. And so they would tell the people. If we did get into the word of God, God will give you answers to what's happening, give you insight to see what's going on so that you not only will know, but you can share it with others to know. Now, it's up to the individuals. It's up to individuals to trust God at his word. But there are some seeking people wanting answers to what's going on with the virus, with the vaccines. Is there any other way of getting help? There's insight. And there's a whole lot of information. There's an information warfare. And what is it coming against? It's coming against the truth. It's coming against God working in the believer where we can count all things joy. There's a spirit at work to make us, cause us to murmur and complain, to look at life and to be dissatisfied. The spirit that the world is promoting and pushing is envy, strife, division. You see this?
Mm-hmm.
But as believers, my brethren, what did he say? Count it all joy.
Count it all joy.
Why? Verse 3. Keep going, Sister Cherry.
Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing.
Now, remember, tribulation works patience. Patience, experience. Experience what? Hope. And hope does what? Make us not ashamed. So this is why we should embrace. When we go through trials and tribulations, it's not for us to murmur and complain. He says, knowing this. Now, yeah. That word knowing is gnosko in the Greek, and it's a verb. So it means that we are to continually learn to know or come to know or get a knowledge of perceive. See, you got to perceive. This is what this whole time when we're dealing with, it doesn't matter, I'm just using the coronavirus, or it can be sickness, it can be any hardship in your life. You got to look past what you see physically. And you got to perceive by the spirit who knows the deep things of God. You see this?
Amen.
So if we're co-laborers with the spirit of God, the Godhead, and we're yielded, denying ourselves, he wants to give you and I some understanding. So the word gnosko simply means to know, to understand, have knowledge. See that? It's to become acquainted with so that you can come to know something. God's wisdom is beyond this world's wisdom.
Amen.
God's wisdom is beyond what the doctors say. The doctors, you can go and they can tell you there's no cure for this. You got to be on medication, all this, and da-da-da. Well, guess what? God gave insight and the medication reduces.
Amen.
Because he gives you and I wisdom. That's why he says seek wisdom. Get understanding. So the trials are coming. Why? That the trying of your faith will produce what? Patience. What is patience? Y'all tell me, because in this world today, we got to have it now. We want it fast. We got to have it our way. So God says he want to work some patience. Our work means is produce. So it takes the trying of our faith to do what? Produce patience. Patience simply means what? In the Greek, is hypomone or hupomone, okay? That's what it means in the Greek. And it means a steadfastness, a constancy, an endurance. Today's people can't endure too much. We can't wait. It's a waiting for. Remember, it's we got to wait for the Spirit to produce stuff. And there is a temptation for us to want to get ahead of God or lag behind God. See this? So you and I have to learn, it says in the New Testament, it's the characteristic of a man who is not swerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trials and sufferings. I don't care if it's cancer. I don't care if they're giving you a death sentence. The trying of your faith is more important than that sickness and that death sentence.
Amen.
And that's why you have to be very careful when people going through situations, not to pray them out of it, but pray that they will be steadfast and wait for God to produce. See this?
Yes.
Give them the strength to stand under the weight of this trial, the constancy, the endurance, the steadfastness to stand under the weight of the trial until God produce tried and approved character experience. If you and I never come to know God, who he is and what he's done through experience, and we just know how to read the Bible and know the theology of it, then what's the point and purpose? How am I going to encourage other people in the faith?
Amen.
How am I going to encourage them to go forward and to continue and to be steadfast and unmovable? Now, verse 4, she said, but let patience, let this steadfastness do what? Have her perfect work. This is the same. See, this is the problem in the area that God has the most difficulty in when he's dealing with us. He can't get us to get past justification. We get saved and oh, we're good to go. But this is something right here. In order to produce the work that God, that will withstand the trial when I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, I got to let this work take place in my heart and life. See, this is the only way that I can produce the gold, precious stones. You see that? This is the only way those things can be produced. It's by me allowing faith to work patience and that patience have a perfect work. This is the work of the Spirit, not you and I working to go preach and squall and go witness. Now, you'll do those things.
Right.
But it has to be done by the Spirit because you can do those things in your energy, my energy.
Amen. Yep.
So we can do things that mimic the Spirit of God, but like I said, Christ, when they approached him, he said, I don't know you. And that word know is the same, gnosko, knowing this through experience. They never came to know Christ through experience. They did a work where they cast out demons. See that? They said, Lord, we cast out demons in your name. And what did Christ say? Depart from me. I know you not.
Amen.
This is why it's important that we don't just come to know in our head. This thing, by faith, it has to be worked out in our hearts or through our hearts.
Amen.
Any questions before we go further with this? I just want to make sure it's clear. Because this will lead to the your works being approved by God and laying the right foundation, this is what it produces in the life of the believer. We got 3 minutes, so let's keep going, Sister Jerry. We'll take our time.
If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and unbraideth not, and it shall be given him.
Now, this wisdom, it says, pertains to proper knowledge of the word of God. Not so you can shine and everybody can come to you and I and we can stand out and let men be like the Judaizers. They wanted followers. See?
Mm-hmm.
He says, if you lack wisdom, according to that. See, there's some things I'm like, Lord, I want to know because I don't want to preach wrong or teach wrong. It's not about trying to be theologically or whatever to have, you know, say big words. But I want to get a proper understanding so that I can relay it to others.
Right. Amen.
Properly. I don't want to mislead. I don't want to lay a foundation. So I'll do what it takes. I'll buy the books. I'll dig in and try to find out what it's saying.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? So he says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally. He gives to all, not a certain few. It says the Lord gives to those who ask, providing they ask the right thing. So a greater knowledge of the word of God is always the right thing. What did Solomon say? Solomon asked for wisdom. He could have had anything, but he wanted wisdom. See that?
Amen.
And upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. It says this means when we ask wisdom of him, he will not reproach or chide us for our past conduct. He permits us to come in the freest manner and meet us with a spirit of entire kindness and with promptness to granting our request. So what am I saying? When you're in a situation and you don't know the answer to certain things, whether it be medical advice, see, this is what the word of God is here for, is to give us wisdom in the midst of our lack of understanding things. He wants to get. He's willing and waiting, but he has to. He said he'll give liberally, but he has a condition. Verse 6.
But let him act in faith.
There
nothing
you go.
Wavering.
See that?
Mm-hmm.
It's always faith in the right object till we all come to the unity of the faith. This is why we have to direct everybody to the right. It's not Islam. It's not Allah. It's not church works and religious activities. It's not the black Hebrew. It's not. See, that is an effort of the enemy to subvert our hearing, overthrow how we hear. And he said, how can they hear? Faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of God. How can they hear without a preacher? And how can he preach lest he be sent?
Amen.
So who and what you hear, they got to be sent by God. Can't just hear, just got to stay in a church and got a steeple and with a cross and all this stuff doesn't mean they were sent by God.
Amen.
You see that? So, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, not doubting. For he who wavers is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. God wants us settled. He wants us settled on our convictions of him, who he is and what he's done.
Amen.
The problem is God can never get the believer to get settled. We're wavering. We go from doctrine to fads. And we can never be settled. We're like the wave of the sea. We're driven.
Yes.
And remember we read in Ephesians 4, he told the gifts to preach till we all come to the unity of the faith so that we would, and we had to grow up to the stature of the fullness of Christ so that we would no longer be tossed, what? To and fro and carried about with what?
Every
wind of doctrine, right?
Every wind of doctrine.
Amen. So this is the same. If I don't come asking in faith in the right object, I'm wavering. I'm doubting God. God will not move unless he sees faith in the right object. Otherwise, I'm wavering.
Amen.
And he said, on this note, we'll close, for he who wavers is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind. It says here in the notes, and they're tossed. He who continuously veers from one course to another only reveals his own instability and lack of a sense of being under divine control. You see that? When we hop from doctrine to doctrine, he's saying it's just revealing your instability. You may be saved, but you have a lack of being under, you won't let the Holy Spirit control you. You won't let God's way. See, we can't have itching ears, meaning we only want to go with God when we agree with God.
Mm-hmm.
We only want to move in that direction of God when there's something said that I agree with. See, we have to let God invade all of our preconceived ideas. We have to let God deal with all our political views, all our everything. If you don't, guess what you've found? It will be revealed, an instability,
mm-hmm.
a lack of a sense of being under divine control. You won't be swayed with going with, okay, this particular group matters, but that particular group, you won't get caught up in that. You'll see as Christ saw, for God so loved the world. It's not about a particular, he don't have any respect to person. So this spirit that's at work that's trying to make us focus on one group is of more importance than the other, or we got to uplift this group, that's not the spirit of God. And the Christian cannot get caught up in that. We have to be a beacon for all men, of all stature, of all whatever they are, whoever they are. You and I have to stand on truth of what's right and was fair and just according to the word of God. And when we're pulled from side to side and standing and supporting this and that, it's showing our instability to stand under or being under the divine control of the Holy Spirit. He has no respect of persons.
Amen.
So Joshua said, hey, when they was getting ready to take over Jericho, and we're going to close, he saw the commander of the chief of the Lord, and he said, are you for us or for our enemies? And he said, neither. This is the stance of God, neither. But as commander of the chief of the Lord, take off your shoes. This is what he's saying to each of us. For the place you stand is holy ground. Shoes represented depending on our own way, our own efforts, our own, on what man makes. You see this? Removing the shoes meant that you stood, there was nothing in between you and God. And this is where God wants us. He wants us to the point where there's nothing that stands in his way. Not our own desires, not our own precepts, concepts, beliefs, none of these things, traditions, false thoughts, nothing can stand in the way. If I allow those, he said, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself, everything that I've exalted, every belief has to be brought down. If I refuse to bring it down, that shows, he says, an instability and a lack of a sense of being under divine control. Because you never know who God is going to bring in your life. And if we have biases and opinions, and what I am doing, he had told Peter. Peter had the same thing. Peter said, I'm not eating what's unclean. And Peter was separate from the Gentiles. God said, uh-uh, we got to deal with that, Peter. Because Cornelius was a Gentile, and he loved to help the Jews, but he was not saved. All the goodness that he did, he wasn't saved. So God had to bring him into the path of somebody who could explain the gospel. It was Peter, but God had to deal with Peter's biases. Peter didn't want to deal with he called the Gentiles unclean. God said, no, what I have cleansed, don't you call unclean. And this is us today. We got to stop letting our biases control us. Otherwise, you will not be able to reach. God will not use you and I to reach those whom he has available and desiring to know the true in the right way. Why? Because our biases will stand in the way. We got to learn how to come under the divine control of the Spirit of God. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So on that note, we're going to have to close, but we will take questions and comments at the end of the call. So those on the line, hold on, and we'll get your questions. But we want to thank everyone for tuning in tonight, and we just pray that we will let the Spirit of God have his way in our life, because we have a world to reach, and God is going to use the church. But the church has to be without spot or wrinkle. We have to each individually let God deal with our hearts. Amen. So until next Tuesday at 6:45, we'll see you again on Understanding God's Word Ministry. Thank you and be blessed.